teach me how to deal with people in certain ways, and to see things that my thought was kind of idealistic, I guess. But then reality set in when I got in ministry. It was a little bit different. But first verse I want us to look at is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Again, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "As newborn babes," verse 2, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." As those two verses indicate, we are looking at growing in the Lord. I think that's something we need to really think about. I know Brother Daniel's telling me some of the stuff that's gone on in the last few weeks and months. And man, what a blessing y'all have had to see people saved and be baptized and see some things take place, see as God moved, because that's not happening everywhere. I know my pastor now is a younger fella. Matter of fact, he's about the age of my son, a little bit younger than my son. And so it's kind of hard as a pastor for years sitting under a younger pastor. You know, it's like going to the doctor now, and they used to be older than you are, and now you go and they're younger than you are, and things, you know, it's kind of looks a little different, you know, got a different perspective. But still, not every church is experiencing some of the things y'all have experienced. And I was telling our pastor, because we were talking about it the other day, and some things going on in our church as far as, you know, not seeing God really move. I mean, he's there and working, but you don't always see it like y'all seen it here recently. And I said, "Brother, I've noticed in the ministry, it's like life. You got ups and downs the same way. You know, there's times when God moves. There's times when it seems God's not moving, but he's still working. And he's doing things in the background we don't see. And then all of a sudden we see things happen. And we think, man, God's really moving. Well, God's been moving all the time. We just haven't seen it necessarily like that. But there's one thing about it. With all that's taken place here, and the people that's been birthed into the family of God, we need never forget, we must grow in grace and knowledge till the day we leave this earth. We need to be growing in Christ. We need to be staying in his word and understanding his word and meditating upon his word, and that's what we're going to look at some today. Growth is a natural process in the human body. God has designed the human being to grow from the time he's birthed into this world until the time he passes off the scene. There is growth. There's constant growth. And I know you may look at it and be in my age and older and think, well, I'm not growing. Well, you are too. You might not necessarily be growing in stature. Some of us are growing this way, and and some of us are growing out of our hair. You know what I'm saying? But we are growing. Our body is constantly renewing the cells in it all the time. And we got to understand that growth is a natural process. God has made it and designed it that when a child comes into this world, if things are given in a certain, if there's proper nutrition, if there's proper love and stability in that child's life, you're going to see a healthy growth most of the time. If there's not, then we think, well, there's something wrong. And usually there is. If a child doesn't grow, there's some reasons why there's a stunt in the growth. And we need to look at that from a spiritual standpoint. When we're birthed into the family of God, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your only sin bearer, get what I'm trying to say? Because there's a lot of people saying, well, you have Jesus plus. It's Jesus and Christ alone that saves you. He's the sin bearer, and he put your sins upon himself. He became sin for you who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so as you're trusting him, you are birthed into the family of God. And as you are birthed into the family of God, you are to grow, and you're going to grow some. But I also know this, as a pastor for 25 years, I've seen a lot of people who said, well, preacher, I was saved as a child. And they may be 60, 70, 80 years old, and they're still babes in Christ. That ought not to be. There's a reason for that. Now, I know every one of us has different growth patterns and different stages of growth. I know that. And a child of God, spiritual growing is not an instantaneous thing. It's just like life. And I was always wanting to be a big fella. I was a little fella for a while, but then after I got to be a big fella, I wished I wasn't as big as I was. You know where I'm coming from? And a friend of mine, he said he was 6'5" when I got to know him. And he said when he was a senior in high school, he was 5'8". And he went off to college. In his first year of college, he went from 5'8 to 6'5". So there's different stages of growth. We know that. Well, the same thing in the spiritual life, too. There's different stages in growth. So don't expect yourself to be mature overnight or within a year of your salvation. There is a growth process. But there's still to be a growth process. We have to understand that. We need to understand that God has designed us to grow toward the image of Jesus Christ. He's wanting us to grow in grace and knowledge. When I got married, when I first started dating my wife, I knew her some from the standpoint that we were in high school together. And then once we dated, I got to know her a little bit better. And then when I married her, I got to know her better. But after 46 years of marriage, I know her a whole lot more now than I did when I was dating her. Well, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, now my growth, I have to look back and tell you, my growth was in the spiritual life was not strong for a period of time, and then things changed, some things took place in life, and God really showed me that, hey, I needed to quit playing the game, and that salvation was not just professing Christ as Savior, but it was also growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I was growing, then things started happening, and as things started happening, I started growing in the Lord, and so I was kind of like my brother who was 6'5", that went from 5'8 to 6'5 pretty quick. I started to mature in Christ, but it took a period of time. And I want you to understand that I don't read well. I've never been one for reading. I can draw you a picture and tell you in that picture better than I can tell you with words. I've kind of got some things going on there. It's hard to read, but I can tell you this. The more I started reading the Word of God, the more it became clear to me and the easier it became to read. And as it became easier to read and as I started to understand it better, I wanted more and more of it. And that's what we need. And that's why I'm bringing this message to you today. I see so many people who've been saved for so long that are still just wallowing in the early stages of Christianity. And they're about to meet the Lord. And I tell you what, if you own one of these, you are highly accountable to God for it. This is the truth of God's word that we need to understand and to know and to get it into our heart. John 17:3, the Lord Jesus said this, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Paul himself said, after many years of faithful ministry in Philippians 3:10, "This, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." Paul's been in ministry for many years. Paul knows the Lord. Paul has written majority of the New Testament. And yet he's saying this toward the end of his life, "that I may know him." He's saying, I want to know him better than I've ever known him before. That is constant growth. And beloved, if we're not doing that, how can we say that we really know the Lord? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about our growing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our growth is to know him more. When I said in John 17:3, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And so we need to understand that we need to continually grow in the Lord. And there's no way that people, I've known so many people who's told me, "Well, preacher, I've been saved so long." But I ask you this question: can you defend the faith once delivered unto the saints now? Are you knowledgeable enough in the Word of God to know what's true and false? How to discern between the two? Because I'm going to tell you, there's cults out there, there's false teachers, in our churches that are spreading all kinds of things, and they're mixing truth with lies, and it's hard to discern unless, beloved, we know God's Word. We look at denominations, we look at churches today who has departed from the faith. I read of men who I have studied behind before, who now are saying, well, I don't believe what I used to believe. Well, what happened? What changed? Some of it is they bowing to the pressures of the enemy, bowing to the pressures of this world, and are being transformed and listening to the rhetoric so much and not staying in the word and not trusting it. Because, beloved, what was Satan's first ploy against our forefathers in the Garden of Eden? Yea, hath God said? He cast doubt on God's word. And he's not stopped. He continues to do it today. Why are some of these men changing positions? Because they have let doubts creep in. So I'm telling you, you need to understand and study and know the word of God that you may grow thereby, that you may be pleasing unto him, that you may be maturing in your faith. Now think with me. If you are not feeding yourselves in the word of God on a daily basis, and what I mean by that, I'm not saying you got to read the entire Bible in a week. I make it a point to read through it every year, verse by verse, starting in Genesis, going all the way to Revelation. But I don't stop at that. Now, it used to take me about 40 minutes to read just a couple of chapters, to really read those chapters as I was going through. So it was hard. But as time has gone on, and the more I put the Word of God in, been doing it for many, 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 many years now, and so the more I read it, the easier it becomes. I'm not saying I fathom depths that are way out there, because there's a whole lot of the Bible. I still don't know what the depths are, and we're never going to find it this side of glory. But I do say this, the more I read it, the more I understand it, the more those treasures start to come out, and the more things I see, and the more I grow into it, and the easier it becomes to read. And so now, reading a chapter or two or three doesn't take me about 15 minutes to read it. But let's back up. Then we need to take the time to study it. And even if you're reading just a small portion, meditate upon it. Chew on it. You know, you've seen cows, they eat out in the pasture and they'd be grazing along, and then a little while later you see them laying down. But you see their mouth moving, their jaws are moving. Why? What are they doing? They're chewing the cud. Well, I don't mean to be gross right before lunch, but cows got 5 to 7 stomachs, depends on who you ask. But they lay down, after they've eaten, it goes into the first stomach. And then they do what? They bring it back up, and they chew it, and they start getting more nutrients out of them. And then it goes into the next stomach. And then later on, they do what? They bring it back up and chew it again. They get every bit of the stuff they can out of it. That's meditating, if you will. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to ask God to help us to apply it to our life. To be a bit. I mean, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to read it, but it's quite another thing to study it. And so I say all that to say this. If you're not doing this on a consistent basis, week in and week out, and you only come and get your food from the preacher, let's say you're faithful to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's 4 spiritual meals. You think that's going to last you? Folks, I eat at least 3 meals a day. I should say I used to eat 1 meal a day continuously. But I eat at least 3 meals a day, sometimes a snack in between. I try not to anymore because I'm trying to hold my weight down. Thank God I have lost a whole bunch, but still. Could I expect you to eat 4 meals in a week and give 40 hours on your job, or more, come home, do your chores, and minister to your family on 4 meals a week? No. Well, why in the world do we think we can get by on 4 meals a week with God? You can't. And if you're doing that, then I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to grow into the point and say, well, my preacher ain't feeding me. Well, hello, God didn't make him to do that. He is to encourage you. He's to help you. He's to do what God has told him to do as far as preaching the message to you. But you're to take that and to assimilate it in and to apply it and to go back. What the Berean Christians did when Paul was over in Thessalonica, he left from there and he went over to the Berea. And Berean Christians, it says, they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they listen to the scriptures with their mind and their heart and their ear. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. But it says, and then they searched the scriptures daily to see if what the old preacher was saying was true. That's what we're to do. That's what God says for us to do. We are to take in the Word of God, not just hear it. Yes, hear it. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. But that also includes reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing the scripture. As we do that, we can face the enemy. Because, beloved, the enemy is going to, he is not going to stop till the day you're gone. Just look at some of the Bible characters. Abraham. Let's take Abraham. Abraham, before he was known as Abraham, he was Abram. And he was an idolater. He was in the land of Chaldea. And he worshiped other gods. But one day, God got hold of his heart and he became a believer. Now, in his early life, he's following God. When I say his early life, he's still pretty old at the time in age-wise of us thinking. But as he is walking with God, he at the first of his life, hey, he's tempted pretty hard. There's some things he did that was just crazy. But if you notice, Abraham's walking with God, God calls him his friend. But at the end of his life, guess what? He was tempted too, and he sinned. You see where I'm coming from? Satan didn't stop. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth. When he goes into his ministry, what happens? He's gone into the wilderness for 40 days, or he's been fasting for 40 days. He's taken into the wilderness, and he is tempted by Satan. And Satan hits him hard, hits him with scripture. But God the Son always counters because he knows the scriptures. Now, he's yielded himself to be a man and yielded himself unto the guidance of the Spirit. He has set aside his power in the sense of being Almighty God and has become a man and is tempted like we are, yet without sin. That's 3 years before the cross. But right before the cross, what happens? He is tempted by Satan hard. Let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to take the sin upon himself. He's never known sin. But Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But Satan has done his best to trip him up all the way to the cross. I mean, hit him hard. Hey, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he prays to the point where he's sweating drops of blood. I have never gotten there yet. But that's under the pressure of the enemy. Beloved, if you don't know the Word of God, that enemy's going to trip you up. Look at how many people in our world claim to be a Christian. I think in the United States, it's still running about 70% of people claim to be a Christian. If that's so, why are we in the shape we're in? Because they don't believe the Bible. Matter of fact, I got some statistics that was done back in 2002 by the George Barnier Group, you know, Barnier polls and stuff. And let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Of all the adults that were asked this question and surveyed, this is 2002, do you believe the Bible is totally accurate? Only 41% of adults said yes. Of the denomination, Seventh-day Adventists, only 64% believe it is. Assemblies of God, 77%. Baptists of any type, 66%. Catholics, 26%. Church of Christ, 57%. Episcopal, 22%. Lutheran, any type, 34%, Methodist, any type, 38%, non-denominational, 70%, Pentecostal, Foursquare, 81%, and Presbyterian, any type, 40%. Now, what's so disheartening about that? You can say, well, us Baptists, we might not be as much as the Foursquare, but at least we're 66%. It's not competition, folks. Why not 100%? Why not? Well, there's reasons for that, and a lot of it is because people just don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Well, I believe some of it. Well, what parts makes you the authority to accept it? You know, that's what you got to think about. Who gave you the ability to tell God what was right and what was wrong? Anyway, as I say these things, let's go back and think about it a minute. The consequences of people not knowing the Word of God is their soul may be saved, but their minds remain pagan. The uninstructed Christian will approve of that which God has forbidden. We see that in our society now. things that the Bible says are wrong, people are saying, well, I had a lady tell me this one time. Well, the Bible needs to be changed. Hello? I don't believe that. The Bible needs to be changed. Well, why don't you change your heart? Amen. That's the whole thing. People buy into things that they ought not to buy into. They believe what God says is forbidden. They say, well, it's okay anyway. They will teach what seems right to them on themselves. And you know what Proverbs says? That which seems right unto a man leads to death. We have to understand. People either believe the word of God or they don't believe the word of God is truly his word, or and they don't study it, or both. When God's people are ignorant of the word of God, they become setting ducks for cults and false prophets and nutty schemes. As I said, the Bereans search the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. And as I said before, God holds us accountable because we have a Bible. When God's people do not know the word of God, they go after everything that glitters and the claims to be biblical, even when it corrupts the word of God. They respond to gimmicks and glitter and goofballs, and you look at just how many people's gone for the health and wealth gospel. And if you hear what they say and you put it in the context of what the scripture says, you'll see that it is false. I read this when I was studying this. It's been a number of years back, that one of the men who are into that big time, he said, if you'll send me $2,000 and your monthly house payment, God will take care of it. And I don't know how many people did that. And then about 3 to 4 months later, they started getting foreclosure notices on their house because the bills hadn't been paid. The guy was lying, but people bought into it. Why? Because they're not looking at what the Word of God says. You've got to know what the Word of God says. When God's people are starving spiritually, they turn all their focus to the pulpit and place unrealistic expectations upon the preacher. That, well, the pastor's not feeding me, so I'm going to go to another church. Well, if you're not feeding yourself, you definitely ain't going to get it. Beloved, God didn't intend the pastor to be your God, nor your Holy Spirit. He's your leader as far as the under-shepherd of the flock. When God's people are not living in the Word of God, even when they do open the Bible, its truth seems mysterious to them, and their riches that's in there, and instructions go unheeded because they don't know what it is, that they're still in darkness. Again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When God's people do not live in the Word, they remain carnal. James 3:15 says they're earthly, they're sensual, and they're demonic. That's the spirit that's within them, where their wisdom is of the worldly wisdom, and that's what James says. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. And I've heard people say this before so many times. Well, when they're talking about the Word of God and talking about the Lord, they say, well, it seems to me. Well, wait a minute. It don't matter what it seems to you. It don't matter what it seems to me. What does the Word of God say? I remember a lady one time I was talking to her, and she was telling me something, and it was in error. This has been many years ago. I said, but the Bible says this. She said, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I've experienced. That's Satan. That's demonic. Because Satan wants you to get into the experience and not into the Word of God. Why does some, and I'm not bashing these churches, please, please don't get me wrong. Because I know some of them are preaching the Word of God, but I also know there's an awful lot of entertainment in church in some places. And they get big crowds because of the entertainment. They'll sing for 50 minutes to an hour and preach for 10 minutes. Becomes more of a concert than it does teaching and preaching of the Word of God. To me, maybe I'm old-fashioned, that's fine. But this is the most important thing you can do in church, is read and study and understand what God's saying and apply it and exhort one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord as a family. Music's not going to do that. Music is important, don't get me wrong. But it cannot replace this. It just can't. We have to understand that. When God's people are living in the Word or not living in the Word, these things become darkness to them and they stay babes in Christ. Hebrews 5:11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to him that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, that's the negative side. Let's look some to the positive side. To grow spiritually, you must believe, you must study, you must memorize the Word of God. And above all that, you got to obey it. Why do we have such a hard time with it? Well, you got the world, you got the flesh, you got the devil. You know, our own flesh, our own nature, that old nature. God didn't remove it when we trusted Christ as Savior. We still got that old nature, and it's doing its best to come back in and try to take over. And the one we feed the most is the one that's going to grow and be stronger. We feed the flesh and live in the flesh, it's definitely going to dominate the spirit. But if we feed the spiritual man, it's going to dominate the flesh. And that way we can put the flesh to death daily. It can be crucified and we can walk with him. Will we fail? Yeah. Are we going to live perfect? And in the word perfect that I'm using, not in the King James wise, but in the word perfect I'm talking about, is complete without sin. This side of glory, I don't see it happening. Matter of fact, let's just go to the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How many of us do that 24/7? I can tell you this, I love me 24/7. But love God supremely, I struggle. It's a battle. It's not easy. Why? Because that flesh is constantly against it. The flesh does not please God. Can't please him. The flesh loves religion. But it hates God. It just does. It's not saved. It's rebellious. That's why it's so hard, you know, when somebody tells you, you got to do this. You know, when I was in school, especially in elementary school and high school, when the teacher said, you got to, I was thinking, no, I don't. I'm rebellious. I mean, that's just our nature, you know. I remember reading behind a preacher, and he was talking about a hotel in California, I think it was, and it was right on the coast, and it had a big sign up, do not fish from the balcony. And what was happening, people were fishing from the balcony, and every time they threw their rod and reel out and a big old piece of lead on the end of it, it'd go down, and it wouldn't quite make the sea, and it would come back, and it would hit the restaurant on the bottom floor and break the windows. They did it time and time again. And they tried and tried and tried everything they could. Finally, they put up a sign that said, fish all you want. And it never got broke again. Just the rebellious nature of man. You can't. Yes, I can. Well, God says, there's some things you can't. And we are, well, I'm going to try it anyway. And then we suffer the consequences from it. We must believe that the Word of God is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it didn't come by the will of man. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God breathed his word into those 40 men that he chose over a 1,600-year period to write the scriptures. It's not holy dictation. It's the inspiration of God as he breathed into their bosom the word of God. It's without error. I know we've got a translation. I understand that. But it's still preserved in the word of God in the English language. I still hold to that. God gives us his word that we can trust. It's true. And men can say, well, I don't believe it. And try to prove that it's lies and whatever and hypocrisies and it's all kinds of myths and everything, and they cannot. They have been trying for years and years and years. Some people buy into it, but some don't. You trust the Word of God and know that it is His Word. Secondly, we must study the Word of God to know Him, what His will is for our life. 2 Timothy 3:15, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. His grandmother and his mother taught him scripture, and then he grew in grace and knowledge, and then he got under Paul and was mentored in growing into maturity as a believer. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what we need to do. And as we do that, we will grow. We will understand by studying his word. It helps us to understand the different aspects within salvation, forgiveness of sin, redemption, the love of God for us, his promises to us, and his will for us. It helps us to grow in discernment and truth and how to be able to apply in our life to live for his glory, and also to be able to see the faults and the lies of the enemy and to continue to go on for him and follow him. And then lastly, we must obey it to grow into his image and be blessed, have abundant life. 2 Timothy 3:17, it's right after 3:16, says that the man of God may be perfect. And in the King James, the word perfect there means maturing, constantly growing. Maturing, throughly furnished unto all good works, and that is completely unto all good works. As we grow in his word, we're being conformed to the image, and that is God's desire for us. He says in Romans chapter 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word Christian means little Christ. That's what we're to be. We're to be like him. And beloved, I'm going to tell you this. I cannot see how in the world anybody can be saved and grow without this word. Now, I know there's brothers and sisters around the world who don't have it, but God gets it to them in specific ways and different ways. But I say this when you say, well, how about those people? It's the same thing that Jesus told Peter when Peter said, you remember on the beach when God reconfirmed and recommissioned Peter when they were on the seaside, the resurrected Lord was there, and he had a fire going, and Peter and the boys are in the boat, and they've been fishing all night long, don't catch nothing. And Jesus hollers from the shore, and they don't know it's Jesus yet. He says, children, have you caught anything? He said, cast your net on the right side, and they did, and they pulled it in. They come to shore. John says, Peter, that's the Lord. Peter jumps in, swims the shore, rest on pulling nets in and everything. Then they talk, and the Lord asks, Jesus takes Peter, and he says, lovest thou me more than these? Three times. Yea, Lord, you know. I failed you miserably. I'm just paraphrasing in there and adding my own touch. Yeah, Lord, you know, I just miserably failed. But Lord, you do know I love you. May not be what it needs to be, but Lord, I do love you. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. But Peter makes a mistake. And he says, what about John? And the Lord says, you don't worry about him. You follow me. And that's what I say. We don't worry about, yes, we're concerned. And yes, if you can help send Bibles around the world, send the gospel around the world, you do it through missions, you do it through Bible drives and stuff, do so. But don't worry and say this, well, what about those that don't have anything? Jesus will say, you don't worry about them, let me take care of that. You know me. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Beloved, do you know the word of God? Now, what I told you to turn to in Psalms 119, go there, we've got three verses. Well, I'm going to read about four or five verses there. Psalms 119, verse 9. This really sums up what I'm saying. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In Psalms 119, it's 176 verses. The word of God is mentioned in different forms, statutes, laws, precepts, commandments, word. All these words are used for the word of God. And out of the 176 verses, it mentions it 175 times. Must be important, huh? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You seek God with your whole heart, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to become little Christ. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Well, how am I going to not wander from his commandments? By cleansing my way, by taking heed to the word of God. That's how it happens. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Beloved, The more you put the Word of God in, the more ammunition the Holy Spirit has to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. The more understanding you have. I know, I've known this a number of times when I've been involved in something and all of a sudden a scripture comes to my mind that I may have learned years ago. And all of a sudden it comes up and it's applicable for that time. It helps me to discern what I need to be doing. Blessed art thou, O my Lord. Teach me thy statutes. That means word. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. When I'm living in the Lord, when I am following his word, I can't help but proclaim it with my mouth. I have rejoiced in thy way, thy testimony, or in the way of thy testimonies as much as in the riches. I am so thankful that I've got the word of God. Can you imagine trying to walk with God and not have it? There's some brothers and sisters doing it, but it's a struggle. I will meditate in thy precepts. That's chewing the cud. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. We need to follow him. Read, study, understand the word of God. Job said this in Job 23:12. I have esteemed I have esteemed thy words, or the words of thy mouth, more than my necessary food. I have esteemed thy words, or the words of thy mouth, more than my necessary food. Beloved, let me encourage you. Read and study God's word. Become a student in it. Seek the Lord with your whole heart, and he will transform your life. Now, one more little bit of caution there, but please don't turn back because of what I'm about to say. Just know this. Yea, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The more you try to study it, the more Satan's going to hit you. The more he's going to send things against you. The more he's going to try his best to destroy your life. But I can tell you this. You stay with God. And as Paul said, what's this little bit of time that we're suffering this affliction here compared to the glory to come? Beloved, you walk with God, you know his word, and you will have an abundant life. And then when you get toward the end of whatever time God has given you, you will have no regrets. You know you've given your all to the Lord and followed him. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Invitation, I'm not sure how it's given here as far as music is concerned.